This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
What's going on, y'all? And good morning on this day, Tuesday, December 17th. This is your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep your eye on for today. I may sound a little cheery. I may have a little pep in my step this morning because it was a great Sixers victory that we watched last night against the Charlotte Hornets. A lot of great things, a lot of things we want to see as Sixers fans took place last night in Charlotte against the Hornets, and it led to a great Sixers victory. So I feel like we should all feel a little great this morning on this Tuesday morning. So I appreciate you starting your day with me. It's your man, James Jackson. Make sure you're following me and the podcast on Twitter at JimmyJ23 for myself, at ClapYourHandsPod for the podcast on Twitter. I will be bringing you these daily pods every day. Myself, Elliot, and Jack will be with you shortly to bring you a full podcast episode. But until then, we stay rocking and rolling with these daily pods, and the Sixers starting to just look like themselves more and more as we get through these games. A win last night against the Charlotte Hornets, and it was a great one, 121-108. In Charlotte, they hit a lot of great things. I will break down that game with my three takeaways on the other side of the break, but you know how we do for these daily pods. I'll set the agenda. We'll go through the schedule, some scores around the league, some teams that we should definitely be paying attention to as Sixers fans, some injury news, regular news, and on the other side of the break, I go into my analysis. Like I said, those three takeaways from the win last night against the Charlotte Hornets. Let's go to the schedule, because the Sixers have a little bit of a break from now until Friday when they spin around and play the team they just beat last night again. They play the Charlotte Hornets on Friday at the Wells Fargo Center, so that's at home. So they'll go from Charlotte back to Philly playing the same team, and then we'll spin right back around and play back-to-back with the Cleveland Cavaliers on Saturday in Cleveland. So Charlotte, Philly to Cleveland, Monday, Friday, Saturday. That's how the schedule goes this week. So the Sixers will have a little bit of time to kind of rest, get a little bit healthier, and prepare. But they won't have to, you know, watch any extended film. Just go back and play the same team, have the same game plan, and hopefully you get another win on Friday night against the Nets to sweep. To sweep the season series. Sixers are 3-0 in the season series with the Hornets so far. They can go 4-0, and I don't know if there's going to be a lot of opportunities to go 4-0 against teams this season. I would love to take that opportunity against the Charlotte Hornets on Friday. Let's get to some scores around the league, some teams we should pay attention to. I got quite a few of them today. So first, the Cavs beat the Nets 130-101 to remain at NBA's best 23-4. We see Cleveland on Saturday. Sixers are 0-1 against the Cavs this season. So Evan Mobley, believe it or not, led the way for Cleveland, 21 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists. All 5 Cavs starters were in double figures, though, plus a 19 and a 17-point game off the bench from Ty Jerome and George Niang. Ty Jerome continues to impress. He's impressed off the bench. He's impressed when he's got thrust in the starting lineup, when Donovan Mitchell missed a couple of games, when Darius Garland was out in the beginning of the season. I mean, he's not going to get any really awards for it. I think he started too many games to really be considered a sixth man of the year at this point. You know, he's not, he might get most improved, but I think there's guys above him. But Ty Jerome, he deserves some praise and some claps. He's making a big jump this season with the Cavs. I can notice that. I can see it becoming a bigger part of that rotation. So Ty Jerome doing great things. But it did seem the Cavs, like the Cavs had this one on cruise control for a little bit, 130 to 101. They beat the Nets, and they will see the Sixers on Saturday. The Bulls hang on to win a tight one in Toronto, 122 to 101. They win by one. It's the Bulls' fourth win in the last six games, so they're starting to play well. And Vooch led the way, 24 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. It seems now that since the Bulls have gotten rid of DeMar DeRozan, everyone thought it was going to be Coby White taking this big step up, being, you know, the team leader. Maybe Patrick Williams was going to do that and be the team leader. You know, they just thought a lot of guys were going to step up and now be the face of the Bulls. It kind of seems like Nick Vooch is stepping back into that role as not only the vet on the team, but maybe even, you know, the best player on a night in and night out basis. Who knows? Vooch could be auditioning himself to go get on a title contender who could use a good starting level big in this league to make a run. You never know, but Vooch has been playing well lately. I've noticed it. RJ Barrett also playing well for the Raptors. Had another good game for them, 32 points, 9 rebounds. But it's the Bulls taking home the win by one in Toronto. Bulls surprisingly above 500 on the road. 8-6 record on the road this season. So the Bulls aren't as terrible as they were last year and as a lot of people kind of have them in their mind. Let's go to Miami, where the Pistons upset the Heat, 125-124 in OT. Tim Hardaway Jr. was looking like his pops out there. Went on a 9-0 run by himself in OT to help the Pistons secure the W. He finished with 16 points. It was Malik Beasley who led the way for the Pistons, 28 points. Players like him, like I said, with Vooch too, auditioning as the trade deadline approaches. It feels like Malik Beasley gets moved at the trade deadline every year. It's probably why he doesn't have a problem with going to the teams like the Pistons, because he knows if I play well in December and January, someone's going to come get me. Someone's going to come get me from Auburn Hills and put me on a title contending team. So it's about that time for me. Malik Beasley starts looking like one of the best shooters in the league, so he can go get himself on a title contending team from the Pistons. Jimmy Butler, finally looked like he wanted to play for the Heat last night. He led all scorers with 35 points. Also had 10 assists too. We know all the drama that went down last week between his agent and Sham. Sham's reporting that Jimmy Butler is open to be traded, actually listed some teams he would prefer to go to. His agent came out on Twitter and said all of this reporting from Shams is false. I don't know where he got it from. Stop making up stuff about me and my client. Shams went back on ESPN and on First Take and said, I stand by all my reporting. It's 100% true. I wouldn't have reported it if I didn't have merit and good sources. So all this to say, Jimmy Butler is still on the Heat. Doesn't look like he's going anywhere anytime soon. He scores 35 points and 10 assists. So the reason I go through all of these games is so we have a good idea of where we at for teams who are near us or really above us in the standings, teams that we are trying to chase down. So right now, the Sixers occupy the 12th seed in the Eastern Conference. I know that's But one game behind the Nets for that 10th and final play-in spot, 2.5 games behind the Pacers for the 8th seed, and 4.5 games behind the Hawks for the 7th seed. A little bit of distance, but not out of reach. Right? Not out of reach by any stretch of the imagination. We are not far into the season still. 24 games into the season. Okay, 24 games in this season, and we're less than 5 games out of the 7th seed. It's not ground that Sixers cannot make up. They just cannot afford to kind of spiral anymore this season. But if they continue this play, we should be able to catch some of those teams in the standings. Let's go to some injury news, because we got a timetable for Joel Embiid's return. Joel Embiid likely to miss the next 2 games with that sinus fracture. So he did not play last night against the Hornets, although there were some conflicting reports going into yesterday about his availability for last night, but the team announced that he would be out against Charlotte kind of earlier in the day, so took no one by surprise going into the game. But they also announced that he won't play Friday night when the Hornets come back to Philly and will most likely miss the next game against the Cavs when the Sixers go to Cleveland and play the NBA's best team right now. He will be reevaluated, our favorite word, in 1 week, so that can came out yesterday, so it's going to be reevaluated next Monday for the Sixers to see when he will go. But it's unfortunate is an apropos word. Unlucky seems like the most apropos word for me for Joel Embiid, because it's not a minor injury. It's not something where you say like, oh, you know, he's not toughing it out. He's not playing through something. Not only is it a broken bone in your face, right, would sideline a lot of people. This is not a common injury, right? This is not something that happens to NBA players here and there, or, you know, people kind of expect this injury to happen. It's not. Right, just to paint the picture of how unlucky Embiid is, this is from PHLY's Derek Bodner, who does a great job along with our guy Kyle Newbeck over there at PHLY. He did some research, broke down the numbers. Listen to this. 34 NBA seasons, right, would be about 15,000 individual player seasons for the NBA. There's only been 16 of these injuries, 16 such of these fractures in 15,000 individual NBA seasons for the rest of the NBA, right? Compared to 3 of these orbital and sinus fractures in just 9 seasons for Embiid, right? So everyone who's ever played 15,000 individual seasons have come and gone, right, in 34 NBA years. Only 16 of these cases have happened in those 15,000 NBA individual seasons. Embiid has 3 of them. 30% of his seasons, he's had to endure this injury, when 16 out of 15,000 individual seasons have gone through it before that. Not a repetitive injury, not a nagging injury, not an injury that he makes worse because he's not taking care of his body or he's not treating it as he should. Just wrong place, wrong time, 3 times in a row. So we just, I want to make sure everybody knows, you know, just what Embiid goes through when he goes on the court. He is a magnet for injuries. It's kind of inexplicable at some points, but just wanted to add further context to you. It's really hard to fathom sometimes what the big fella goes through. I continue to feel for him. That is the injury news. We have no other kind of updated injury news. We'll wait to hear how Caleb Martin is feeling to go on Friday, how Adembona is feeling, and continue to stay updated on that Jared McCain situation as he is scheduled to have season-ending surgery. We will see when that happens. But no bigger news on top of that. I'm going to take a break. On the other side of the break, we get into some takeaways. The 3 takeaways from the win last night in Charlotte. Oh, it looked good. The Sixers looked good. I'll break it down on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. Welcome back, y'all. Appreciate you starting your day with me. It's Tuesday, December 17th. Victory Tuesday. Eagles got the victory Monday yesterday. And the Sixers occupy the victory Tuesday today, which means back-to-back good days in South Philly. Flyers also won yesterday, too. Good day. Good day in the complex. Make sure you're following me on Twitter, your man James Jackson, at JimmyJ23 on Twitter, at Clap Your Hands Pod for the podcast as well. We're here breaking down the win last night against the Charlotte Hornets in Charlotte. Let's do that with the 3 takeaways from last night's game. First and foremost, can't ignore this one. This one jumps out to you. PG and Mad Max, right? Yesterday, I asked for PG to have a repeat performance from his 29-point game against the Hornets on December 3rd, and he came through. 33 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds, a very similar stat line to the game he had last time in Charlotte. Ala Abdunabi even asked him what it is about that building that he just seems so comfortable in. He couldn't even explain it. But Buzz City is just kind of Paul George, and he turns up when he goes there. He also shot 6 of 9 from 3, which was huge. It looked big for the Sixers. He really came out and established a nice rhythm early from the jump. And I'm going to be honest, when Paul George is in rhythm and Paul George is ultra, ultra confident in his shot, he really can be one of the best scorers, the best rhythm shooters and rhythm players in the league, especially in an ISO situation. And last night was just one of the instances where he was in such a groove, the Hornets really could do little to stop it. It's not like the Hornets weren't playing good defense, right? Paul George saw double teams. Paul George got put into tough shots. Paul George hit fadeaways, fallaway jump shots, tough and ones at the rim, pull-up jump shots over bodies and over hands. it was just a situation where Paul George was seeing the rim and it looked like an ocean. And he looked like he was throwing a beach ball into the ocean, man. Like it was, he was hitting jump shots from everywhere, hitting shots from everywhere. And the Hornets really could do nothing about it. If the Sixers can unlock that Paul George for a consistent basis, that's when we start to look like a team that a lot of other teams were scared of coming into the season. So he did all of this with no knee brace last night too. I don't think that was really talked about enough on the broadcast, on Twitter. I don't even know if a lot of people really noticed it, but that go-go gadget inspector knee brace that he had on was not there, and he was still moving really well. Wasn't laboring, didn't go to that knee at all. He was great. But Paul George didn't do this alone, right? Mad Max came up to play, joined him in this game too, dropping off a 40-piece for the second time this season. 40 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds. He did miss 3 free throws, though, right? That continues to be kind of inexplicable of how the Sixers are shooting free throws this season. He missed 2 consecutive, so gave the people in Charlotte some free chicken. I expect Charlotte players to return that favor on Friday night when they come to the Wells Fargo Center, give us a little 5-piece in return. I wouldn't be, you know, too opposed to that, but when it comes to Maxey, that was such a great game to see him last night. Confidence is the biggest thing when Maxey plays. He has to play confident. Now, he may not always be the catalyst for the offense. We've seen times where if it's on Maxey to get the offense going, the offense continues to sputter. Maxey continues to sputter. But when the offense is moving well, he becomes one of the most dynamic players in the league at that guard position, right? If the offense is at a spot where the defense is, you know, attention is elsewhere, and Embiid is cooking, Paul George is cooking, the Sixers role players are cooking, and your second thought becomes Maxey, he's going to beat your second thought every single time. He may not beat your first thought, right? You sending double teams, you sending blitzes, you game planning for him. But if your game plan now shifts to Paul George, to Joel Embiid, to whoever, Maxey will hurt you and will hurt you in bunches. He did that last night as Paul George was continuing to cook on the other side of the floor for the Hornets. It's the first time the pair have scored 30-plus this season, and at one point, they had the Sixers really in clear control of this game. So great job. That was the first takeaway from the game last night. The Hornets did make a run, though. And the Sixers had to sustain it, which brings me to my second takeaway. And to me, it was Kelly Oubre's best game of the season last night. Kelly Oubre is just as much a part of that victory as Paul George is, as Tyrese Maxey is, as anybody else is on the Sixers last night. Now, he didn't have a season high in any one category last night, right? I looked. Didn't have a season high in points, assists, rebounds, steals. Didn't have a season high in really anything last night. But as a whole, in totality, I think he turned in his best game of the season. 19 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, a block. It was impactful everywhere, even throwing a block in there at the very end. But everything was impactful. Everything that Kelly Oubre did was felt last night. PG and Maxey may have gotten to them to that double-digit lead and then gotten to them and control that game, but it was Kelly Oubre who was the main person steering the ship home, especially when the Hornets were starting to make their comeback at one point. Had closed it to a 2 or 3 possession game, and Kelly Oubre came out in the fourth quarter, scored 7 of the Sixers' first 8 points in the fourth, and helped them create distance again going to the latter stretch of that game, right? And it just seemed like he was right place, right time. And that's when Kelly Oubre is the best, right? Doing the little things that end up seeming so big for the Sixers. It seemed like anytime they needed it, Kelly Oubre was right there. Right? When they need a 3, here comes Kelly Oubre with a big 3. When they need a big offensive board or a rebound, here comes KO with a big board. Here comes KO with a big defensive stop when they need one, right? Here comes KO saving a ball out of bounds, making a hustle play to get the ball back for the Sixers. It's just all those little things that sometimes don't seem as impactful when big stars like Embiid, PG, Maxey, or whoever are not on the floor and he's kind of thrusted into a bigger role. When Kelly Oubre can sit in this pocket, right, where his 19 points looks like it's the tipping point, like it's the X factor for the Sixers, where his 9 rebounds looks like it's deflating for the other team, right? When his 2 or 3 big defensive stops gets the ball back for the Sixers at crucial points, when those things start to look bigger and bigger, Kelly Oubre is one of the most valuable players on the Sixers team, in my opinion. It was one of my things to watch for if guys like him and KJ Martin were going to have their stamp on this game. Kelly Oubre did it. And when he plays like that, when he's able to impact the game like that, I think he's so valuable. I think he plays so well. And he did that last night against the Hornets. Great job for KO. My last takeaway from the Sixers win last night in Charlotte, a good win, 121 to 108, is how well they shot the three, right? It is not normal for the Sixers to shoot the ball this well as a team. It is normal for the Hornets to give up this amount of threes and this many made threes from an opposing team. They are one of the worst teams in the NBA at defending the three, and the Sixers did take advantage of that last night, as they should. I do want to be clear that even with a hurt Sixers team, even with a Sixers team that has been up and down to start the season, that's how you should treat the Charlotte Hornets. Even a little bit worse, if I'm being honest, but that is the very least how you should treat the Charlotte Hornets. As a team, they shot 42% from three-point range. So yes, maybe their best three-point game shoot, best three-point shooting game of the season. And although they shot very well, when I broke it down, it was a little interesting. I don't want to, you know, kind of be negative Nancy here, to be doom and gloom, rain on everybody's parade. But to play devil's advocate, when you look at really the numbers of the three-point shooting last night, it's interesting. The reason why this is a takeaway from me is because watching the game, it seemed like the Sixers were shooting from everywhere, right? When you get a guy like Eric Gordon making threes, you're like, oh, everyone's hitting threes today. Right, we must have 6-7 guys with a made three-pointer today because, you know, the shot is falling, 42%. But breaking down the numbers, realize only four different Sixers made a three-pointer last night. And if you take away Kelly Oubre's one, only three different Sixers made a three, right? So out of their 16 made threes, that means 15 made threes come from three players alone, which is a little crazy, a lot. It's not impossible, but I don't think it's sustainable either for the Sixers, right? We're not talking about a team who hangs their hat on the three-point ball tonight, where you could say 15 made threes from three players, or it means the rest of the team, you know, was off. We could expect, you know, three other players to have a made three or a couple made threes at any other given night. That's not the case for the Sixers, right? 42% is great, but I can't expect three players to carry the Sixers to, you know, 35% and above three-point shooting. We do need other guys to hit a three. Caleb Martin didn't play, right? So there's three-point shooting right there. Yabusele didn't hit a three tonight, but we know he's capable. There's three-point shooting right there. Kyle Lowry can hit a kick-out three when he's available. There's three more right there. Reggie Jackson didn't play. Able to hit a kick-out three. There's three right there. So there's guys who on different nights are going to have to contribute from three. Joel Embiid, when he's healthy, maybe two to three threes right there. So other guys will have to step up, but I want the number, the percentage to remain there. I want the amount of guys making threes to go up. But those are my three takeaways from the Sixers game last night, a good win in Charlotte. PG and Mad Max, if we get that, Sixers can start to turn a corner. Kelly Oubre turning in his best game of the season to me, and how well that three ball looked. We just need more people to get in on the party. A great win last night in Charlotte. The Sixers take a little bit of a break until Friday, but I will be back tomorrow to break down more Sixers ball and give you more Sixers news. Until that, I will see everybody in 24 hours.